The following Aloud podcast was recorded live in 2008 at the historic Central Library in the heart of downtown LA as part of the award-winning Aloud series presented by the Library Foundation of Los Angeles. Aloud podcasts are made possible through the generosity of the law firm Arent Fox and by individual contributions from listeners like you. For more information on Aloud, or to find out how you, too, can support the Los Angeles Public Library, please visit our website, www.aloudla.org.
Maricela Norte and Maria Elena Gaitan. Thank you.
Thank you, Eugene.
Yeah. Wow. Aquí nos sentamos muy formales. Muy formales. Thank you all so much. Okay, what am I going to do? I have to call my loved one because he can't be here tonight, so he's going to be listening in. So I'm always listening in on people. It's only fair that you should listen in on this phone call, so just bear with me. Ay, arreglanse. Do what you need to do. Ay, perdón. Claudia. Oh, my God. Is that Leo? Oh, my God, Letty. Hi, Nat. Whoops, wrong number, sorry. You'd think I'd have this memorized, right? Ay, Dios, ¿qué me está pasando? Ando un poco nerviosa, I got to tell you guys. Everybody's here. I can't see a thing past the first two rows. Look at my mocha comrades are here. Thank you. Facebook? Is my mom here?
Facebook?
Where's my mom? Where? Oh, okay. Hi, Pat. Daniels? Okay. Hi, doll. Listen, you and everybody is listening in on this conversation, so we're just about ready to go. I just wanted to call you, and I'm going to put you here on this table next to me, okay? Okay, sweet. Love you. Ay, Dios. No manchen, por favor. Hi, Joey. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I don't know what I'm going to do after this gig because I've just been getting so comfortable with having a cello being played in my living room.
I'm moving in.
On Brooklyn Avenue. You know, this, Maria Elena and I did our first collaboration in 1981. In 1981, we wrote a piece together called La Condición Femenina. Some of you that are old enough may have even seen it, but we kind of took it on the road wherever they asked us, really. And we've just been friends ever since, and this is our first collaboration in quite a long time, so it's dedicated to all of you, and just thank you so much for being here, and just the fact that this is the first LA reading for Peeping Tom Tom Girl. It's only fitting that it would be at this place, which is one of my favorite places in LA. Para empezar.
No, no voy a llorar.
Lost in Los Angeles. Once it was like seeing the night for the very first time. Only someone dangled black ice cubes in front of my eyes. Each street, each story melted on a page. An upholstery shop opened past midnight. In the back, a fading light bulb persists overhead as the men they gather to drink. They talk about women. Women at bus stops with slits in their secretarial skirts. Catholic girls with too much lipstick, las nuevas santitas, cuddling school books, teddy bears, and suddenly religious boys. Muchachas bailando en bikini. I pass these joints and I must look. Possibly I am searching for those who search for the anonymous body in the pink bathing suit. I hear the trampling of their feet, men knocking doors down just to get a good look at a pair of fishnet stockings. And for every man laying out the family bills on the bar, there is another one, pale and miserable, who simply wishes he wasn't there. And the jukebox still plays, Yo quiero una muchacha como tú. Laundromats are crowded with bored children who must wait for what seems to be an endless rinse cycle. Babies drink red Kool-Aid out of plastic bottles and chew on nibbles that never collapse. A woman on a bus bench rests against a smiling credit dentist as the RTD continues to exhaust her with nicotine shock. Dr. X offers easy payments and 1,000 pink receipts. At the Jack in the Box, the orange vinyl is polished to perfection by a neighborhood kid afraid to lose his first job. There are no customers tonight. I try to imagine bullet holes in the clean glass. Women still walk the boulevard swinging those little blue bags from Learners, cinnamon nylons, legs like Josie Rubio. Radios blast each other on the streets of Los Angeles con salsa picante, sábado salsa y salsa al pato también. Música con ambiente y una Cuba libre. And in some corner of this city, some chavalito sneaks out the screen door to play in the garage. He crawls into an old washing machine, sings himself to sleep, only he never wakes up. The Calvary Cemetery pretends to be an island too far from my reach. Still, I go with my pile of love letters to read. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Inscriptions written by friends and enemies. Too old to be a poet, too young to be a martyr. The Latin lover, the secret, the sweetheart cafe, bars. Sorrow and mixed primal excitement lined up against a wall. Tight men with gray chins and skimpy suits. They flex inside their tired skin. Ashen entities, too far from the planets and twice removed from any immediate family. I feel myself spilling through my fingers, breaking into little pearls of mercury, praying for rain to soothe the hot pavement, our souls, some dying lawn in a suburban postcard. The heart breaks. It breaks like an old woman's arm. It breaks like mother's china, crashing like a hopeless silver jet, hitting the ground like Hiroshima. Sir Lonely puts his shades on, his imperials pierce the moon, and so a page from the puppet zone falls over the blue night. Baby Loca carries 45s and checks out all the guys. Impala slide around the corner in dangerous love as three stars hang heavy over the east.
¿Cómo te sonó? Yeah, good. Mira, esa nos trajeron agüita too. Sorry. I took my glasses off only because if I start seeing people, ya voy a empezar. Oh, mira, está, look, there's some. Who is that? ¿Quién es? ¿Quién es? Oh, my God. Look, there you are. How are you? How's the new job? Good?
I don't mean, I'm muy chiviado now. He's not going to say anything.
And I have a cheat sheet here, too. I'm so sorry, pero es la vejez.
Dolores Fuertes.
Dolores Fuertes. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I do have to say something. After years of, you know, doing gigs and, you know, oh, Marisela, I'm going to do a reading here. And always, you know, okay, making the list of what I need to take and gathering the stories and the poems. And un papel aquí. And once I was doing a reading in Berkeley and I missed the last three pages of the poem. Well, so too bad, you know. But to actually hold it now, I got to tell you, man, this is like... It's a great feeling. So I have to say my thanks to CityWorks Press in San Diego that they came through for me in this book and they pulled it together and their designer, I sent her this photograph and they made this incredible cover. And a side note, if I can say something about this image, I was waiting for the bus on Brooklyn. You know, I was waiting for the bus. It's almost like two rabbis walk into a bar, it's like the same kind of thing. I was waiting for the bus on Brooklyn and Soto, and here's this amazing red dress, right? And if you look on the side, this is the daughter saying to her mom, "Mom, why are you wearing that hideous dress?" And I'm looking at it like, oh my God, this red dress and the yellow fire hydrant, right? So I'm taking pictures of her, and the daughter's turning around, "Mom, they're taking your picture."
And the ladies turn around, ay, que no me sacan la cara, and this and that. And so finally I said, and then we get on the same bus together, right? So we start chatting. And I said, no, señora, mira, and I showed her what it looked like. And she said, sí, and she tells her daughter, ya ves, está bonito mi vestido. After the mom, you know, they were arguing about it. Well, turns out she has a flower shop on Brooklyn Avenue called Antonia's Flowers, please, for all your floral needs and your bouncing houses, the bounce houses you need for your next party or your the next baptismal, right? So I went to go see her on Saturday, and I took her the book, and I was hoping she would be here tonight, but at least I was able to give her a copy. So now we go on to something that, is Grunky here? I don't know if you're here, Grunky. I remember reading the story to Grunk once, and he said, Mari, that's an opera. So perhaps, I'm just throwing it out there, but this might be something that the three of us can work on.
Yeah, we're going to need Josh Kuhn for this.
¿Está style, Josh? Ahí está. This is Dolores Fuertes. Dolores Fuertes leans against the opaque chrome counter in front of the small to-go window at Jim's Golden Ox Burger on Whittier Boulevard. She is watching the enormous Greek as he drains another wire basket full of jumbo fries into a red and white checked cardboard boat. She sees what look like tiny pieces of shrimp stuck in between the steel mesh and thinks about changing the oil in her car. Costas, the Greek, squeezes a plastic ketchup bottle, making elaborate and delicate curlicues, like those wrought iron swirls that barred her view of the boulevard that lay outside the Holy Cross Clinic. She is recalling the words that men threw at her like play money. Out their car windows came the words whenever she floated by in front of them, all dressed in white. Mujer, estás para comerse, mamá. And for a moment, she will regret the pair of curly-cued cupcakes she ate slowly every morning at home with a large Diet Coke. She removed the Medi-Cal form from her typewriter, wondering what was taking Leti so long with her food. He is all Herculean arms, twisting a sheet of tissue paper around her French fries, making a friendly little knot with his massive hands. Black curly hair covers him complete. She always liked seeing the way the hair on his chest jutted out from beneath his undershirt. Like an ex-prize fighter daring another punch, she lets her eyes wander throughout the geography that was him. And she is praying that maybe his desire burned too on occasion, just like that double-double cheeseburger that only hissed back at her from the tiny grill. He flips it absently onto a ragged seedless bun, and Dolores Fuertes closes her blue eyes, imagining those massive hands against her white drip-dry uniform. It had been 6 or 7 months now since she'd even seen him. The doctor had put her on yet another low-cal diet, but she cheated on him constantly. Guilt tugged at her tight sleeves, and she thought once more about the Greek behind the counter. Did he even miss her? He slides the small screen door open and pushes her order in front of her. She had come to liken these particular moments as if they were conjugal visits, walking 2 blocks from the Holy Cross Clinic to Jim's to see her imprisoned lover, instead of walking 2 blocks from her desk just to pick up her lunch. She spits a wad of hot pink bubble yum into her sweaty palm, forgetting about the $5 bill stuck in her hand. And the money will stick to the gum, and her voice will stick to her throat. But when she finally does speak, she speaks in well-rehearsed English phrases. He only grins back at her, and then casually tosses a few Greek words, like a fistful of salt, over his shoulder to a cousin who argues into a pay telephone in Spanish. Those thick lashes of his lower themselves deep into that space between her breasts, where Jesus hangs from a thin chain. The uniform fits these days like a latex glove, ever since she first discovered the golden Greek at the Oxburger. And all day she will fight to ignore the rustle of her fleshy thighs, rubbing together, trying to start a fire, only to be trapped inside ample white pantyhose. Dolores Fuertes burns the inside of her mouth with the first three or four French fries. And she wonders, did he really say, have a nice day, like it was just one word? Letty appears holding a soggy brown bag, wounded red on the bottom. She will pause to admire her 22-year-old self, reflected in a shiny glass jar where popsicle sticks grow up into tongue depressors, pressing the hot bag against her heart as if it were the head of the Greek himself. Dolores Fuertes thinks about death and diet at 11 a.m. at 33 years as she struggles to make it across the street once all of those impatient horns had stopped their honking. ¿Quieres hablar un poco de la música? Si quieres.
Oh, ok. Ya me toca.
Órale.
It's my turn.
Órale, pues échale.
I'm really, really honored to be here tonight because Marisela, we've been waiting for her book for a long time. We know this is just the first of many books. And Marisela is a very modest, humble person, those of you who know her. She's not looking for the big light or anything. That's why she's even more endearing. And what the things that she writes about, particularly, are the voices of women. And today on KPFK, there was a woman who is a Swedish physician who had gotten an award for her work in caring for rape victims during war. And these are very difficult things to do. In some way, Marisela tells very difficult stories in a very tender way. And I personally, when I do performance, I don't do that. I brutalize you. I'll hurt you right now. Picture the words. I'll bring up the cello and make you cry. But Marisela has, oh, yes. We manipulate everything. But Mari's stories are very tender, and she's able to deal with very, very difficult issues. So it just made me feel like, women in general on this planet, all of us, but women in particular, even during this time with the fiscal crisis that we're in, it'll be women and children who get it the hardest. We already know this. So I picked the next piece. Marisela, I offered up a platter of songs that I do. I call this karaoke cello, where I do. there's some, because my band doesn't show up, so I have to use tracks. So I brought a number of songs, and this is how we did it. It's real low tech, really. So I brought Mari a sort of a smattering of songs that I like, that I work with, and she just said, I like this for this. And so this is how the reading and the music sort of came together. And I was just open to whatever she wanted to do. So tonight you'll see a combination of songs with tracks, some cello improv alone, but really it's the story. And we know that everything we're doing is to support the story and to honor the story. But Mari was generous and asked me to do one song. So I'm going to play a song by an Angolan artist who I work with in Portugal. His name is Valdemar Bastos. Some of you probably know him, his work. And he has a very beloved album called Preta Luz, which means dark light. And he's a survivor of the war in Angola. And this particular song is one of those, I'm sorry, but I like, this is a cello, so sad is good. So here goes, okay. The title of the song is Sofrimento, which means suffering. And but it's a very beautiful sort of suffering. And so it's really another way to honor the book and to honor women's voices. And so even though a guy's singing, but it's a girl doing the cello, okay, so you got some balance there. All right? So hit it, Chewy.
Mm-hmm.
On toy.
Girls Gone Wild.
Girls Gone Wild. With that, right? Wow. God, I love that piece. This is an excerpt from a much longer piece called East LA Days, Fellini Nights. Last night I read that the ultimate romantic relationship we will ever experience in our lives is our relationship with the past. So then, let's look past the past. Reluctance, eventually it dies. Signals cross, time moves on, yes, sweeps you along. This one goes out to every woman who has ever tried to leave. Every other day, somewhere across a border, a state line, a city's limits, and the realm of good taste, a girl's gone wild. As a red Payless pump accelerates used car over First Street Bridge to 8.5 hour minimum range, someone's eldest daughter is reported missing, and another girl's gone wild. I'm asking you to remember every woman who's ever tried to leave every other day. The next time you find yourself wrestling with the big questions, thinking if you're going to leave your waitress another dollar. That shotgun blast heard through an open window late at night was for her. Your neighbors will drop on to cracked linoleum living room floors, pull the nickels they so carefully taped across the mouths of plaster saints, and swallow them for good luck, and pray for her. And yet the television set that lives next door, that altar is always burning. And somewhere on late night TV, girls go wild, doggy style. Cause like Snoop says, it's not just a video, it's a way of life. And someone's eldest daughter is still missing. Sometimes it's a pair of charcoal eyes staring back at you on the number 40. I see a woman who belongs on the cover of Vogue instead of behind a rusting single needle. Sometimes it's the varicose veins you spot like spiderwebs in corners of rooms, like transcontinental highways already present on a young mother's thighs. She is the one you're left thinking of when you stand behind her. Stand behind her in a crowded pharmacy, waiting to pick up a prescription, listening to the Rite Aid version of Nat King Cole's Unforgettable. She is the one who paints the picture, who covers your heart. Slice of life that was never mine. How could I know until I fell into your eyes. Deep in the bottom of a well drink in a plastic cup, girls have gone wild, get nightly coverage across the country as hundreds never make it home from work. From factories, lunchrooms, and bus stops, after a 10-hour day assembling American conveniences, Sony headphones so easily replaced, with little regard to number 236. Not Miss Inspectora Número 236, but La Víctima Número 236. Tell me something. When you push the volume up on those Sony headphones, can you still hear her scream? The day after the Academy Awards, I see a photo of a woman's feet inside of a pair of custom-made million-dollar shoes. Outside a trash dumpster in Juarez, a pair of white sandals remain buried, remain invisible. This just in, Nigerian women reportedly flash a group of oil executives. Nigerian women protesters take over 5 fuel stations. 8-day siege, declared victory, girls gone wild. And this is the part where I wish I could sing. A woman is a precious thing, far beyond a wedding ring. A woman is, a woman is, a woman is.
Tienes agüita. Tienes agua.
Five zillion.
Yes. ¿Cómo se sienten? Yeah? Good.
How do you feel? I'll be the interpreter.
Oh, yes. And how are you, Daniels? 5 zillion. Aquí estamos.
Five zillion told. I am here again because I have to be. I am not on this bus as a thrill seeker looking for adventure. I am always going somewhere, I like to believe. There is always business at hand. And everything that happens on this particular bus, on this particular day, eventually will find its way home or into the work. I live in this mobile city for however long it takes me to get from there to here, on stage or in a classroom with yellow work pages in hand. Those people I encounter are there because they have to be. They have business to take care of as well. They are, all of them, going somewhere. And my only silver sliver of hope is that they, all of them, take a part of me, why not take all of me, with them to their homes or to their places of work as I do. The chance encounter begins. It was a no conversation struck up between myself and a young boy looking too frightened too early in the morning. He is holding a flattened aluminum beer can stepped on 1,000 times and is nervously sneaking sips of orange crush from another can, the one most recently discarded and retrieved by his mother who sleeps next to him. The bus rolls down the boulevard and I can see that there are 3 plastic grocery bags between herself and the young boy whose look has changed from scared that they might miss their stop to embarrassed that the world can see his mother sleeps with her mouth open. He eyes me suspiciously when I, sensing the fear first, I try and wake the mother up, ask her where does she need to get off? Is it okay if the boy takes the lifesaver I'm offering so he won't Don't drink those last syrupy drops of orange crush from that salvage can. Señora? She opens her eyes and I can see that she's at least 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years younger than I am, but already she looks worn out. She sleeps in an elastic waisted straight skirt, one she probably sewed herself, and she wears a t-shirt whose faded statement reads, "Someone in California loves me." I do. She says gracias, but tells me they don't have to transfer until Soto, so her eyes close comfortably again as we are now just a little past Ford Boulevard. The boy takes the life savior into his mouth like millions take communion, and I decide to ask him about school. But his interest, like mine at that age, lies somewhere outside the bus window, and he ignores me, gliding a Hot Wheels minivan across the crack window. I watch her sleep, picturing a much different scenario around her, a life she never quite imagined for herself. The sign at Carnitas Michoacan reads, over 5 zillion sold. But one night, I will rewrite it to read, over 5 zillion still ignored. I watch Mom and her young son make the rear door exit, hopping into that purple Hot Wheels minivan, and he takes the wheel so they'll never have to walk home again. So I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to a mix of Pedro Infante, El Trio Los Tres Haces, and of course, the blue Iri Gourmet y El Trio Los Panchos on my headset, staring into the storefronts when this older man, un señor grande, he got on at Whittier and Boyle. He was in a starched shirt wearing a worn-out tejana, the gold tassel on his hat catching the sunlight that poured on into the bus. His bus pass is carefully shown to the driver, who does not bother to return his buenos dias. He is carrying a large bag of lemons, and immediately the smell overpowers the inside of the bus. I know that these came from a tree in his backyard and not from that big food for less, because the stems and green leaves are visible from the top of the bag. I like thinking that they came from his backyard, from a tree he planted a long time ago when he first came over. I move my books from the seat next to mine and he nods, tipping his hat slightly. The smell of the lemons is as overwhelming as the lyric to Historia de un Amor. Siempre fuiste la razón de mi existir, adorarte para mí fue religión, y si ya no puedo verte porque Dios me hizo quererte para hacerme sufrir más. I remove the right earphone and, not saying anything, I place it close enough to the old man's ear. I push the volume slightly, I close my eyes as he listens. Ya no estás más a mi lado, corazón. En el alma solo tengo soledad. He turns to face me and his eyes are large, damp with tears. Pero cómo, usted, esta música? I go on to explain that this music, this is what keeps the memory of my father alive, here, now, on this bus, on my way to work. We talk more about Mexico's golden age, movies, every black and white movie we've ever seen, on El Canal 52, El Canal de las Estrellas, of my father's early projectionist days at El Cine de los Árabes in Mexico, movies, always, always movies. He smiles long enough to let me know that we will be forever linked throughout this day. His stop is coming up, and again, there's that slight tip of the hat. Que le vaya bien, señorita, y gracias, he says. Igualmente, señor. Un placer. And then he's gone, too, and I never got around to asking him about those lemons. But sometimes we don't even get a chance to speak. I see her. She's young with this burgundy, spiraling, going nowhere perm. And I hear her say, well, yeah, I transferred. Well, to El Rancho for like 6 months. Everything, not thing, but thing. Like sting, like everything was going good. And then I had my son and forget it. Never got her GED because the baby's father is forever referred to as just that. The baby's father. Forever in quotation marks. The headless wonder, no-name monster. He didn't want me to go to school because, you know, too many guys, never enough books. He didn't want me to work or nothing. Again, not nothing, but nothing. He just wanted me to stay home with the baby. And so goes her story into the year 2000, century 21. She is not speaking to me, but I am listening to her. Her words are passed like penciled words on notebook paper back and forth to him. He, the young Turk with goatee, pierced ears, and baseball cap worn backwards. Where haven't I seen him before? They talk more and I'm just writing faster, faster, trying to catch up. Do I go out? Well, yeah. Well, usually, well, yeah, just Fridays and Sundays I go out drinking, partying. Saturdays we go kick it at my comadre's pad in Covina and watch videos. And the baby, her son, another nameless seventh wonder destined for greatness by way of the Kmart baby portrait with your choice of settings. Autumn leaves, winter wonderland, Whittier Boulevard bus stop, more like it. He, the baby that is, will ultimately meet his fate sealed inside of a Lucite key ring to be displayed with pride from 40-year-old disco grandma's purse. But what about the baby, her son? Does he, will he sleep soundly in his indoor swap meet Black Market Power Ranger pajamas with one watchful eye on the digital clock as burgundy spiral going nowhere permed mom shrinks to fit into Cha-Cha 2000 baby doll dress? Will she fulfill the promise and take him to see the Lion King like she said she would? Or will Speed 2 and 3 soothe his bedtime fears and lull him into video sleep as she dresses to go into the night with other young mothers? A neighbor will always be there to watch those kids. A Mexican lady, as she puts it. I wonder if she knows she's soon to be a Mexican lady herself. The young man, who up to this point has been listening intently, he casually throws out the next big question. He wants to know how many pounds she gained during her pregnancy. 24, she states, in a tone once reserved when floating past the bouncers at Baby Doe. He looks at her. She sticks an acrylic tip into her mouth before admitting to 28. Young Turk now sits back and calculates. He makes up estimations in his head, predictions like lucky lotto numbers as to how much longer he can continue to have sex with his teenage girlfriend, the girlfriend I may or may not eventually see, struggling to find a seat on the crowded bus, collapsible stroller in one hand, baby bag and blanket in the other, talking to me about him, the baby's father, her, the teenage girlfriend, the one left sleeping in the small bedroom next to the washing machine at his mother's house. She, the one with the watchful eye on the digital clock waiting for him, the baby's father, to come home again. Daydreaming that he might take her to the movies one day because she would have loved to have seen Lion King instead of Speed.
I love it.
How we do? Where's Luis? ¿Dónde estás, Luisa? Querida. How we doing on time? We're good? ¿Sí? All right. ¿Dónde vamos? Angel. Ooh, yes. T-Lands. I love this piece. The music, the music. Thank you for bringing all of this music into my life.
Thank you, Mari.
No, no. Trajo unos discos increíbles. Unos CDs. Fabulous.
Piratería.
Dile sí a la piratería. For those of you that are recording this on your phones y no sé qué. Angel. One. A stray bullet lodged between my fears, between fingers that stick, leaves broken English only on already red shoes. Monday morning, lunes, lunes, Los Angeles, la 98, la FM, la Latina, work week begins. Drive-by shooting victim on Wilshire Boulevard will not report to the unemployment line. A struggle to keep my place among the original displaced person. Odd woman out, damsel in this dress. I slight men's voices on the street, those that cling to the bottom of already red shoes. Men's voices that land too close when they spit as they cross themselves. Men's voices that will never have anything new to say to me. Tired talk radio blasting proposals in one ear. Can a violent relationship be turned around? Can a dead man still be turned on? Bad TV infomercial, late at night, Brenda Vaccaro squealing, ooh, light his fire. The offering of salvation to marriages that sag like old mattresses, propped up, left lying against telephone poles in other people's neighborhoods. Or a child prays for a good night's sleep and buries his fists deep into black wires. 2. Lunes, lunes, Los Angeles, Ciudad Lunática. Where a woman is raped, murdered, and then thrown into the trash, where she will land on soft pink pillows of disposable Huggies, especially for girls, where police will tie a big plastic yellow ribbon around the city dumpster in a mock show of support for the female troops who must face their attackers daily on the way to work and in our dreams. They called her suspected prostitute, NHI, no human involved, and left her body inside as they wheeled her down an alley for closer inspection, further investigation. Homeless man on flower remains invisible. Big spender ignores orange vendor. A 24-karat Jesus swings on a lonely trapeze in the window of a discount jeweler. I think about the cha-cha girl left crying at the bar. I think about how pretty his wife really is. I think about el guapo y su abuelo. Wonder out loud which eye the girls fall for first. La Vaga sips a bloody Valentine. Girlfriend gives me some straight up advice and tells me how I should just get serious once and for all and write a book and call it No Sex and the Single Girl. 3. A stray bullet lodged between my fear, between memory against desire, leaves past and present on already red shoes. Women behind bars at the 24-hour Daddy's Donuts, deaf-mute angels throwing hand signs in the dark, a friendly sign that offers buches al gusto and flautas estilo Juan Gabriel, with a smile and a twist. Homeless man on flower sings impromptu blues for a cup of coffee. He remains invisible. I give him half my sandwich wrapped in a poem, and he calls me Angel.
¿Qué vamos a hacer después de esto?
Me voy a bañar.
Ay, María Elena.
Para amanecer fresh.
Para amanecer más fresh.
So I would like to just, now para hacer los shout-outs a todo el mundo, just my thanks to LA's treasurer, if they don't vote you that this year, next year, Louise Steinman, for just pulling these programs together. And if you're not a library associate, please really consider doing that or giving it to somebody as a gift. I gave it to my mom 1 year. And my mom is here tonight, and my mom's birthday's coming up. She did me the honor of having me on her birthday, you know. So my mom and I will be celebrating our birthdays in a couple of weeks, and I'm trying to remember to sit up straight, Mom. So my thanks to, of course, to Louise and to, you know, Justin and Russell, our technical support up in the booth. And also, thanks to María Elena, I've now become part of La Comunidad Facebookera. And everybody's just been so generous and posting it, and are you coming? Y quién sabe? I mean, María Elena, it's just been, it's been crazy. You know, people have been really supportive of the work all this time. And many of you that I thank in the book that are here tonight know that a lot of times it was just a couple of empty chairs and you guys and myself, you know, and I really, really thank you all for just kind of embracing me and this work that I do. So, just in closing, I did want to say that. ¿Querías darle las gracias también a Pati?
No soy una malagradecida.
No, por favor, dile.
Well, I basically want to thank you all for coming tonight. I mean, we do this for you. And it's an experiment, and not the writing, but an experiment in performance, because Mari had to trust me to do this, and it's a little scary. And I've been improvising with poets for a few months, and it's a daunting task not to overwhelm the words and to do things that are supporting the words, and then to have a friend who trusts you. And all of you to come here without knowing, well, you know you're going to listen to Maricela's book. And Maricela and I have performed many years ago. Before, they said it was performance art. We didn't know what it was.
No, es cierto.
We did not know. We just did it. I had a journal, and I had just become a single mom, and I heard Maricela's poetry at Self Help Graphics, which has gone through a very difficult time in the recent period, and which, like many institutions, we want them to survive. And I heard Maricela, so I feel like my performance spirit was born by watching Maricela do poetry, because her words, I'd never heard anybody do poetry that was about things that I knew. So it gave me the courage to go back into that little nasty journal I had hidden under the pillow and yanked it out, and life has never been the same. So I am somebody whose creative spirit has been nurtured by Maricela over time. A lot of people don't know this. It's a really nice opportunity to say thank you to her.
Yes.
We performed in women's prisons. We've performed at the universities, at community centers, and in front of old bars and nasty-looking places and fancy-looking places. And we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't. We just did it. And I was always the chola, and she was always the Catholic schoolgirl. And she would show up in her Catholic schoolgirl skirt. And I would look like, I don't know, something scary. And we went to the women's prison, and I couldn't look too close to the women who were in the prison.
No, no.
I might make them upset. I mean, it wasn't about mocking them. So I had to. So I did O Pachuca instead. You know, O Pachuca, ducktail, you know, little bunny shoes. And Maricela had the courage to show up in a Catholic schoolgirl outfit to the prison.
No, because we couldn't wear jeans. You're telling that part.
Jeans,
we couldn't wear
they
jeans.
Couldn't tell us apart from the inmate. So.
No, seriously.
You're talking about what, 1981? Gronky, what was it?
It was 80.
We were working with you. In
82,
¿verdad?
Como 82.
Yeah. So we went there, and Maricela and I were not from theater, so we didn't know how to warm up for this performance that we did.
And so it's pre-Luis Alfaro.
We started bantering, and here's all the women from prison looking at us in the back of the room.
They were.
And Maricela and I go, so we're warming up. Hey, so who do you think you are, man? I'd start, and she goes, hey, well, I'm nobody. The sisters started lining up, like trying to figure out whose side they were going to be on for this fight. And all of a sudden we realized, oh, no, we're going to start like a riot in the prison.
I started giving away cigarettes, you know, like to calm them down.
I put my arms, like, oh, no, she's my friend.
Yeah.
And just, you know, warming up, you know, so stupid us, you know, we didn't know.
But it was not knowing and just doing it.
Yeah, so we just went out and did stuff. This is performance art of early. We didn't know what it was. It's performance art, whatever you want to call it.
No, Gronky pensaba doblar papel y pintarlo, and then that was that.
Gronk would turn some raunchy old space into a fabulous gallery made out of paper. You know, it's all paper.
No, it's true.
We really did. I'm very grateful for the opportunity that crazy.
No, I love it. So thank you all. I would like to just close with the title of the book, which I guess, I don't know, it's like my, I'd like to think if I had a theme song, it would be this. So.
Entras tú.
Sí. I am a peeping Tom Tom girl, and from my seat on the downtown bus, I have been driven through, been witness to, invaded by las vidas de ellas. I've made myself up to be the girl who sits in the back with the black mask over her eyes, the high school girl too anxious to experiment, la muchachita stuffed into the pink lampshade dress, who listens as her parents argue through different neighborhoods, who shuts her eyes and tries to memorize the menus on the chalkboards outside. And then there's this woman, the widow with the gladiolas, who never misses a day of forgiveness, who gladly lays her flowers down, this woman, la viuda. Y la otra, esa, she just sits and counts todos los días en inglés y en español. La mandaron al diablo con su bolsa del mandado. Mujer de papel, corazón de cartón.
She sleeps in doorways, hefty bag wardrobe, broken tiara, and too much rouge. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, 429-13-0000-X2. She is the Countess, Nuestra Señora, la Reina Perdida que cayó en los. And then there's Silent, who taught a friend of mine how to flick her cigarettes out of a car window and be so bad in the process. Silent, who spends a lot of time in the welfare office filling out those pink and blue forms. Can't find a babysitter, a good man, a job. She smiles, blowing the smoke out of her nose and sending the butt of her Marlboro out of the office window and onto the boulevard. She rides those buses I do, balancing boxes of Pampers marked half price and pulling two kids, a pink one and a blue one, behind her on a string. Just pull my little string and I'll do anything. I'm your puppet. 15 years ago, Robert gave her that 45. They used to ride the Kern bus home, make out in the driveway until they thought their lips would fall off, but they didn't. Puppet, passion, Pampers. What were those words in the middle? And then there's Rosemary, who's still in junior college and can't decide between a career in real estate or dancing. She hangs out at the local hangouts, fluttering her long lashes and flashing her long legs at some men's eyes. And sometimes older men buy her drinks and make vague promises. I'll take good care of you. I'll drive you straight home. Let me take care of that car payment. I want to take you out to dinner. And almost always they are old enough to be her father or long-lost uncle. Silver-haired, loose-tongued, quick-handed, knit-witted men dangling electroplated lollipops in front of her eyes. And Rosemary says, sure, why not? I want someone to take care of me, someone to make me his forever, mija, pay my bills, take me dancing, send me day-old roses, I don't care. Her friend Rosary thinks she's crazy and doesn't mind telling her so. They've been friends now for about 10 years, been through absent menstrual cycles, low-paying jobs, conceited men they both thought they'd never be able to live without. And everyone used to get them confused until Rosemary made the distinction in everyone's yearbook. In red ink, right below her hollow smile, she scribbled, Rosary beads, Rosemary bleeds. Bells ring, it is my cue to start walking, and I make all the cracks in the sidewalk. Like a lost tourist, I curse the crowds, and I can't help wondering why so many of us are getting pregnant, getting gray hair, and being lied to. I see the girls, las chicks, I follow them around, I become them for the afternoon. The light goes red as two doñas discuss lipstick. Pues fíjate que lo compré a medio precio. No, sí, y es de Revlon. Downtown Los, when I am alone, dark-eyed men speak to me in languages I don't understand. A standing distraction, that blank man in the Brooks Brothers suit. He smells like leather-bound books. Our heads turn. It is a short ceremony. We spend long summers back east raising baby alligators. To him, I am a beautiful terrorist, an unsuccessful advance, glancing avenues as lights go on and off inside me. Inside me, it is all white heat sometimes, and the dark eyes are persistent, insisting. I flirt back. I shrug my shoulders. I should be barefoot on some Italian coast. Steamy, smoldering, a burning girl, red toenails, a devilish laugh, my long hair, dark skin, his soul tangled in mine. Suddenly, I am beautiful. Too beautiful for my own good as this dream dies fast. And I am pushed aside by an angry woman carrying too many packages and an unwanted child in her swollen belly. Suddenly, I am back, sick, weak. I haven't written in days, guilt-ridden, not half a woman. I want out of my own skin. I can't stand the stupid image, the imperfect body, the pink sponge rollers. Never been to Europe, only half a million films.
1, 2, 3, 4, 13, 13, 0, 0, 0, X2, 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 you too. May I take you out to dinner? Cloth napkins. Ay, Dios, ruega por nosotros, ruega por nos, por los. Entonces le daremos fin a esta pesadilla donde muchos solamente somos actores sin papeles. Muchas gracias. Thank you. Thank you.
Aloud Audio is presented by the Library Foundation of Los Angeles and made possible through the generosity of the law firm Arendt Fox. Additional support is provided by the Ralph M. Parsons Foundation, City National Bank, KPMG, contributors to the Stay Home and Read a Book Ball, and Donna and Martin J. Wolf. Media support provided by KCRW 89.9 FM, KUSC 91.5 FM, and KCET. Aloud theme composed by David Ornette Cherry.